nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Simple Flight. From ultralights to the edge of space, the Wright brothers flew in 1903, and aviation is still finding new ways to advance. Aviation is fun, it's business, and it's full of opportunity. Join Al Waterloo as he talks with amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Yes, that is time. It is Sunday night. It's live from the KPWK Airport. I am Al Waterloo on Simple Flight Radio. How's everybody doing tonight? We've got Mark Eppner here with us today, as always, every Sunday night, co-hosting with us. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing wonderful. Anytime I can be here talking about airplanes, it's a good day.
All right, absolutely, absolutely. So, welcome. So tonight we're broadcasting live from...
I think that should be our radio station name, KPWK. Yeah. Although on this side of the Mississippi, it's supposed to start with a W.
Right, exactly.
But so hey, you know what? It's geography kind of has gone by the wayside with the internet. There's
right.
No boundaries anymore. So we'll just be KPWK.
Yeah, KPWK Radio. I like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, every show is brought to you by a letter. Like Sesame Street, brought to you by the letter A, right?
Right.
But, so tonight's letter, tonight's show is brought to you by the letter I.
I
isn't for Isaac. Brought to you by the Hurricane Isaac today.
Ooh, I don't know about that. That's having a lot of havoc out there in Florida. I understand they're even delaying the Republican convention because of it.
They did that last time.
Yeah.
For another hurricane.
Yeah, so I guess we're repeating ourselves. But you know what would be interesting? I have not been keeping up with Hurricane Isaac. I just know it's coming.
Right.
We should find out what the weather's doing down there. You got any thoughts to that?
I think that's a good idea. I've never flown in a hurricane. I don't know. I know people do.
But, oh man, I've seen some videos. It's nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Let's see what
what's going on. Let's see. Hey, why don't you check what weather is in Key West?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see here. Hold on. Okay.
You got something?
Let's see what's going on.
All right. What do you got?
All right.
Uh-oh. We've got a busy signal.
We got a busy signal. That's not good.
No, we'll have to try again. Didn't you tell them we were going to call?
Yeah. I don't know if they would, we're that important where that they can wait, but, I'm sure everything's punkering down. let's see if somebody else, let's see if they decide to pick up the phone.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to do it later.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure it's an area of interest, but you know, I think it's relatively VFR, marginal VFR, but I think the winds are kind of picking up down there, and the radar is showing some returns as I look right here.
Yeah. Well, let's see. They have. I'm kind of curious to see what's going on. Yep.
Well, let's try it a little bit later.
Okay.
Otherwise, we'll have 2 hours of busy signals, and people will say, "What kind of value is that?"
Yeah.
In the
radio
show?
What does that have to do with anything? Right. Whatever.
Right.
Okay, cool. Well, we've got somebody in the house tonight that's queued up on a microphone and loves aviation just as much as we do. Is that right?
There is indeed, and we're going to continue our theme from last week when we were talking about youth and aviation and kind of get some insight, because just as I was saying a few weeks ago that we can find a lot of answers to the problems by talking to the people that are the customers and or that are the pilots. And also we have a young man that's actually, I think we've got a couple people, one in studio and one that's going to be dialing in that we're going to talk to tonight.
Yeah, right.
And that actually, I think we've got a couple things to take care of, a little business to take care of before we introduce Brian. But
yeah,
I don't know if we have this day in aviation.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So well, you know, today's pretty epic for aviation. It's there's a hurricane. We're in the forefront of hurricane season, which is ripping through southern Florida right now. But there's something neat. I wonder if you know, what do you know of anything that happened today in aviation? There's something pretty significant for the airline side of things. Do you know what
the airline side of things? You know, I know, and I was thinking you were going to bring up, although it's not today, but just a couple days ago, a very significant event in terms of the death of Neil Armstrong.
Very true.
A Midwestern boy, went to Purdue University, and of course the first man on the moon.
Right.
And he passed away, and which is sad, but he, what I think, 82 years old.
Yeah, that's a great life. Talk about all the stories that you can.
Oh my goodness, some of the things I've read. But in terms of with the airline history,
yeah.
You're
going
to have to help me out here.
Okay. Well, today, in August 26, 2011, so exactly.
Oh, it's only a year old. What kind of history is this?
It's history. It's going to be written down, and we're going to be studying. Guys like Brian are going to be learning stuff like this. But the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, Boeing's new all-composite airliner, received certification from the FAA and the EASA. Big milestone.
It is, Boeing. Although we saw it flying at Oshkosh last year.
Right.
Right, was that last year? That was last year.
Yeah.
And that was before this, so it was flying. We saw it pre-certification.
Right,
that's very, very cool.
Experimental.
Hey, I have a little history item. It's not this day, but it's close. So it's. I'll tell you, 75 years ago, and I'm not talking about the Piper Cub, what do you think was started 75 years ago?
Oh man, let's go with
think general aviation.
General aviation.
Think yellow.
Yellow,
but it's not the Cub.
Boeing Stearman.
No, this is so in ninth. Actually, I'm going to go back a little bit further before 1937.
All right.
In 1930, a guy named Cosby Harrison bought a Laird Swallow for $995.
Nice.
Open cockpit biplane.
Uh-huh.
And he was from Crossville, Tennessee. And then in 1935, he survived, but he did crash the airplane.
He crashed the airplane?
He crashed the airplane. Then he was very frustrated because he tried to rebuild it. He needed parts.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't get the word out to pilots to get the parts. So he started a magazine in 1937 with his wife Margaret at their kitchen table.
Really?
Yep. And just to get parts and be able to talk airplanes and move airplanes. And that publication is now known as, and was even back then called, Trade-A-Plane.
No kidding.
So we are embarking on this 75th anniversary of Trade-A-Plane.
Get out of town. So Trade-A-Plane.
I have to get out of town.
No, stay in town. Stay in town.
Yeah.
Unless you're flying somewhere, cool. You know, that's important. But no, that's pretty cool. That's something yellow in aviation.
And everyone automatically thinks this is the 75th year of the Cubs, so, and it's general aviation. So I thought I'd get you on that one, and obviously I did.
You did. Nice. I trip it all over myself. How about we check in? Let's see if we can pull up. Hurricane Isaac is. He's got. I'm picking a bone with this thing right now.
Okay.
So let's see if we if we can hear anything good.
All right.
There we go. Okay. That's ridiculous. So anyway, let's pull up a. We got another. I'm very curious to hear what the weather is down there. There's a. There's a particular airline. Crew out there that listen.
Miami International Airport.
Oh.
Automated weather observation 0112 Zulu. Wind 120 at 21. Peak gusts 3-4.
Wow. Nothing.
But 8-5. Light rain, mist. Sky condition scattered 1400. Broken 2400. Overcast 3200. Temperature 27 Celsius. Dew point 25 Celsius. Altimeter 2971. Remarks. Density altitude 1,700. Miami International Airport.
Wow, how about automated. That? That's not too bad for hurricane weather, huh?
No, actually, as I can see, Key West Airport, which we had gotten through, because I understand they're closed for the hurricane.
Yeah, they are. That's unbelievable. Tower is evacuated, but that's all right.
Anyway, is okay.
Well, since people are down there grounded, you know, there's probably not too many Piper Cubs are flying down there.
Or they're flying, but they're flying without people inside.
Yeah, that's going to be a true statement. So they're probably sitting on the ground listening to us and... you know, so do you think you could make them laugh? Let's get them laughing.
You know, this is becoming habit.
Yeah.
And all the jokes I know, most of them are around airliners, although, as, again, with Santa a few weeks ago, it was more general aviation. But once again, I'll tell you that reality is where I see most of the humor. And my experiences are, you know, they're just amazing. And I happened to be flying recently between L.A. and New York. And believe it or not, on L.A. to New York flights, they continue to have meal service.
No kidding.
There's not, yeah. So
that's special.
You know, I was watching this guy next to me. I was back in coach, and we had a very good flight attendant. It was a male, and he served the meal service, and the guy next to me accidentally knocked the spoon off his tray onto the aisle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but this goes to show how focused the airlines are on efficiency and saving money.
Right.
Because the flight attendant immediately took a spoon from his pocket.
Oh, geez.
And placed it on the guy's tray table. I thought that was pretty cool. And so the guy, he was very impressed by the promptness of the service and asked if all flight attendants carried spoons in their pockets. And the flight attendant answers that they had an efficiency expert come in to evaluate the operation.
Wow.
And they determined that 25% of all customers knock spoons off their tray tables. They really measure everything these days.
No kidding.
By carrying that spare spoon, you know, all the flight attendants and the airlines save trips to the galley, and they become much more efficient.
Very nice.
So the guy used it and, you know, was thankful for the spoon. And then when they came to pick up the trays, the guy next to me looked again at the flight attendant, and he noticed he had a string hanging from his fly.
Oh, jeez.
So, is that a threat or what's going on here? So, you know, he was, he couldn't keep to himself, so he finally said, you know, why do you have a string hanging from your fly? And the flight attendant replied, the efficiency expert again, determined that they were spending too much time washing their hands after they went to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
So to counteract this, they tied strings to their private parts, is all I can say.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And so the customer, and quite honestly, I was confused as well and didn't understand how that helps. And he said, well, when he goes to the bathroom, he just uses the string. That way you don't have to touch yourself, and then you don't have to wash your hands when you're done.
Wow.
You know, which made sense, but the guy asked a perfectly reasonable question. He says, well, how do you get it back in your pants? And the flight attendant says, I don't know about everyone else, but I use the spoon.
Oh, man, that is...
Ba-doom, boom, where's my cymbal crash?
You gotta... The drummer's on vacation. He's trying to get to Key West right now, but that's not it. I would not... That makes me not want to use fine china on...
or plastic spoons. I don't care what it's on.
What's kind of funny is I have one of the things that I collected was fine airline china. And I have spoons. That makes me want to, like, return them all and stuff like that.
You know, do they? Yeah, we used to collect, and I still have all those little bottles of booze.
Yeah,
you know, that's going back a few years. It's aged
Minis.
Way past expiration dates.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm sure it's still potent. But anyway, here, you made me laugh, but I am going to try to make you laugh. And
you actually, just looking at you makes me want to laugh.
Well, it's a lot easier than I thought. So we brought, we brought in Mr. Brian Reedy here.
Yes.
And since my joke seriously failed you last time, which was, Brian, what's the difference between a duck and a co-pilot?
I have no idea.
A duck can fly.
Da-dum, boom.
Yeah. But, look at that. Nobody's laughing. So, anyway, I'm trying to get some reinforcements in here, and we're going to throw a joke at you. And let's see if we get, Brian, let's see if we get Mark to laugh.
All right. Not convinced that it's at that quality of yours, but here goes. So, blonde gets on the airplane and sits down in the first class section. And the flight attendant, seeing that she doesn't have a first class ticket, goes over to her and asks why she's sitting there. And the blonde says, "I'm blonde, I'm smart, and I have a good job, so I'm staying here until we reach Jamaica." And so the stewardess then says, "You can't do that." And again, the blonde replies, "I'm blonde, I'm smart, I have a good job, and I'm staying in first class until we reach Jamaica." So now the stewardess, confused and angry at her, and doesn't know what to do, so she grabs the pilot. The pilot comes over, whispers in her ear, and the blonde immediately gets up and goes to her seat in the coach section. The stewardess then is confused, and so she goes over and says, "What did you say?" And the pilot says, "I told her the front half of the airplane wouldn't be making it to Jamaica."
Yeah! All right! Yeah! Awesome!
I just think it's amazing that... I think it's I think it's amazing he got away with telling the joke, knowing that his mother is a blonde, his sister is a blonde, and if Darlene are on the line listening in, Darlene's a blonde. We've got a lot of blonde people that may not appreciate that.
Yeah, well,
but we'll just tell them that Al picked out that joke for you, and so you're off the hook.
Yeah, I'm blonde.
Yeah, Al's blonde. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Well, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, that was we got a great show kind of lined up tonight.
We got a great show.
Oh, absolutely,
lined up.
Not kind of. You're right, exactly. Yeah. Thanks. But there, so we have Mr. Brian Reedy with us today. We're going to be talking with him. He's a young guy that's just getting his feet wet in aviation, and we're kind of going to reconnect with our last week's show of how do we reach out to young people and get them excited in aviation. So Brian is here to kind of help us out with that. And so if anybody has any questions, feel free to call us. You'll be live on the show with us. That is area code 312-436-0356. Once again, 312-436-0356. You can reach us on Twitter, Facebook, email. Go to simpleflight.net, look up our radio show page, and you'll find all of our social media things there. There's also a live internet chat that you can access on ethanolive.com, and you can we're monitoring that as well. So
want you to say Ethan Alive. Just think Ethan Olive.
True.
ethanolive.com.
Yeah.
Well, so actually, yeah, that's a great lead-in, because as we've talked last week and actually in other times as well, the issue, I don't want to call problems, right? We talked, there are no problems, everything's good with
challenges.
There are challenges.
Hurdles.
With aviation is getting inactive pilots active, but I think probably more important, certainly as important, is getting young people involved. And I had the pleasure of standing with Brian's family just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago was his 16th birthday.
All right, happy
and guess
birthday.
What he got to do on his 16th birthday, Al?
Drive a car.
Nah, he's not old enough to do that. Like, maybe he's old enough, but not through enough teaching. But Brian successfully completed his first solo on his 16th birthday.
All right, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's a great birthday present.
Oh, yeah. For family, for himself, for me. I was just excited.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
He did a great job. I was watching, actually, he picked up. He had a little gust coming from a quartering headwind, so it wasn't right down the runway. Did a great job. 3 takeoffs and landings, and right here at KPWK, Pawlaki.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's great work. Congratulations. That's a lot of hard work. I know it's a great feeling too. You know, do you remember when you first soloed?
I do remember when I first soloed, but it's funny. I don't know that I could tell you the date. I know it was at about 15 hours, and I remember I was in a Piper Warrior.
Uh-huh.
At Iowa City, and I also remember that I wasn't expecting it. You know,
really?
The instructor got out. It wasn't like we were building up to that day.
Yeah.
He just got up and said, go.
Yeah, right.
Right? And
right.
And it was great. You know, it's they didn't do the shirt. We did that to Brian, but I didn't get my shirt cut.
Yeah.
But, no, it was great. How about you?
I do remember. It was a lot of fun. It was very, I guess, private moment, if you will, and not as publicized or anything. I kind of knew it was coming. It was a Sunday morning in rural Arkansas, and the instructor just got out and off I went. It was I don't know. It was very, it's very memorable and it, to me. But you know, there wasn't too many people there to show. There's no pictures or anything. I got. They did do the shirt, so that was kind of fun. Yeah. So Brian, did your instructor cut your shirt?
Yeah, right.
Awesome.
The entire back, pretty much.
That's great. That is the appropriate amount of shirt to cut too. You know, you're wearing this thing. You might as well get the whole thing.
And Brian, tell us a little bit about what. So, what was your feeling? First of all, were you expecting it? I mean, it was your 16th birthday, so you probably had some idea that this was going to happen, right?
Yeah. I had been working the summer before, and then that summer to do it, so I knew it was coming.
And when he got out of the airplane and said, "Go do this," what was the emotion like?
I was nervous, definitely at the start, but as I was taxiing down, and then starting to take off, I realized once I'm up, I gotta bring it back down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So training kicked in, and I knew what to do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, you know, what we've been, again, talking about, as I watch a beautiful Seminole, or no, it's a Seneca, come on in here. We've been talking about young people like yourself getting interested in aviation. Is this something that you've wanted to do for a long time? What made you get started with this and setting a goal of soloing on your 16th birthday?
I wish I could say I had a good answer to that. Mm-hmm. Ever since, or as long as I can remember, I've enjoyed aviation. My grandparents say they remember I was 3 running around pretending to be an airplane, talking about aviation.
But you didn't jump off on the roof of the house or anything?
No, thank goodness. And then just... As I got older, 13, 14, 15, it really became clear that this was a possibility more than just kind of a dream. And so started looking for flight clubs, got really lucky, found a great one, and started working for it.
That's cool. You know, I think back and trying to picture what a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old today thinks about options compared to when I was 15, because we kind of had... You know, police, fire, pilot, comedian, whatever it was, but there was no internet, mm-hmm. right? There was hardly any game systems or anything. You know, Pong.
Yeah.
Boop.
It was Super Mario Brothers for me.
For you, yeah. Yeah. So it was. It seemed like we didn't have enough or a lot of alternatives and options. So, you know, is this common as you look among your friends? Do a lot of your friends say, hey, you know, flying airplanes really cool?
When I was younger, my good friend Michael Henderson, he enjoyed aviation, but around probably age of 12, 13, he dropped that. Not entirely, but just kind of it faded off of him. And then I kept going strong with it. And while all my friends think it's cool, oh, you soloed an airplane, that's awesome, it's not something that many of them consider they want to do.
Really, have they said, like, when you get your license, I want to go flying with you, or they don't even want to go up?
They have said that they want to go flying and that we'll go out, get some food, and come back, but other than that, they don't want to go into it themselves.
Wow. At this early age, they're already talking about $100 hamburgers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, how about that?
What do you want to do? Let's go get something to eat.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. That's perfect. You know, people got to eat, you know.
Absolutely. And all nothing right. like an airport restaurant.
Exactly.
Especially if it's about 50 to 75 miles away.
Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect. So, Brian, here's a question for you. What do people, you know, your age nowadays, what do they aspire to be? Do they aspire to be doctors or psychologists? Or, you know, what do they want to do? Firemen? Who knows?
I know a lot of people with a wide variety. A lot of my friends want to be actors, actresses. One of my good friends wants to be a race car driver. And there's just a very wide assortment. I have seen people who want to be doctors, vets,
right,
all sorts of things, but I only know 2 other people at my school that actually want to be pilots.
No kidding. Have they started flying at all?
Yeah, one of them is a year older than me, and he's done his solo and uh-huh. soon to get his private pilot's license.
Oh, wow.
And then another one is eligible for the solo but hasn't done it yet.
Cool. And how old is that person?
My age, slightly older, a couple months.
Cool. And are they learning here at Pewaukee? Or
yeah. I don't know exactly what club, but they're here.
Yeah, nice. So yeah. Do you know them, or do you hang out with them, and do you start flying with them at all? Or
I haven't hung out with them much. I have a little bit. We go to Aviation Club, which is Tuesdays at my school. So
cool. What is fun. That?
It's you just go in. They've got X-Plane, the simulator, nice. Set up on a projector. They've got a yoke system, rudder pedals, and a bunch of switches. So it's It's fun. It's good practice.
Do you have that at home as well?
I do. I've set that up myself.
And you use it?
Yeah. I practiced. Actually, day before my solo, I did it like 5 times.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome.
What does your family think of all this?
Honestly, don't think too much of it, I don't think. I know it's there, and they'll see me using it, but it's kind of, oh, there's Brian on a simulator again. It's nothing.
But what about the airplane thing?
They think that's cool. My brother has said that he likes it. I don't know. He said he wanted to try it, but I don't know if it's anything he'll put the time into.
How old is he?
He is going into college. He's 18.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's and you'll find this. I often say there's plane people and non-plane people.
Mm-hmm.
And those that are into aviation, they just have it. And it makes us all a community, regardless of your age, of your background,
right,
or anything like that. It's all, and you don't even have to be a pilot. You know, like yourself, you're a student pilot, but even if you weren't, you know, you have the love, and here we are. We could sit around a table all night and talk about airplanes.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, what's interesting is that you said that, Brian, you said that, you know, your love for aviation has been a long, you know, it's something that you've always knew that was there. And I would say the same thing for me. You know, I'm about 10 years older than you, and I can go and, you know, remember, you know, being ever since I can remember, you know, loving aviation, going on Microsoft Flight Simulator, and just, it's something that, you know, that's just like way down inside that's going to come out and say, hey, I'm you know, I want to start flying. And as soon as you have the opportunity, you know it, and you take it, and you start running with it. So it's kind of interesting to hear that, you know, and then it's that kind of confirms your feeling, Mark, that you have it or you don't, you know.
Well, you know, what's funny is I love flying and had never been in anything but a commercial airliner.
Right.
And I just knew I wanted to do it. And then a friend of mine actually turned out was my best man when I finally got married.
Nice.
His father or stepfather had it was a four-seater, so I assume it was like a Skyhawk. I don't even remember.
Uh-huh.
In South Suburban Chicago. We went flying, and I was pretty disappointed because I felt very ill.
Yeah.
After that first flight.
Wow.
And, you know, thought, oh, my goodness. And then actually a few years later when I went away to school and took flying lessons for the first couple of weeks, I was feeling pretty sick.
Right.
And then eventually it just went away.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, you had a little issue not feeling well, right, Brian?
Yeah. I first couple of flights, it was not too pleasant for me or anyone else in the plane. And then I started using Dramamine and then slowly just got off that, and now it's fine.
So when you first, you know, your first couple didn't feel well and actually got ill, did it make you think, you know what, maybe I don't want to do this?
It crossed my mind, but then my love for aviation kept pushing through, saying just keep working on it, you'll get through it.
Yeah, and your body adjusts.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly found that out. Matter of fact, what was funny is I just was always just feeling so rotten, and my instructor said, let's start flying at 6:30 in the morning. It was very smooth. And then I got a chance to ride along in a twin. I was at the University of Iowa, and we were doing medical flights, flying body parts, kidneys and other organs. And so they let me come along. We were in a storm, and I was being bounced all over the sky.
Yeah.
And I didn't get sick. And I thought, oh, my God, this is just a few weeks ago I was sick. And now, 2 weeks later, my body's saying, let's go for it, right?
Right.
It's okay.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Well, there's a so what's been your favorite part about flying so far, Brian?
Well, before I got into training, it was easily just any time I got to be a passenger on a commercial jet. But then it's super cheesy answer, just being in the plane and actually getting to go up.
Yeah, right. There's just that's something really cool about it.
Was there anything in the training with your instructor that was better than you expected, worse than you expected, a great part? You know, kind of your, actually, how many hours do you have?
I think maybe 18-ish.
18,
nice. Oh,
very good, yeah. So let's say, and he did that over 2 summers with no flying in between, so took a lot of time off to prep for this, I know.
Right.
So over those 18 hours, kind of what was your favorite part? What did you think was, I got to do this? Okay, if there was anything.
Well, I was definitely expecting a lot more ground school. The first day that I came here was a 6-hour ground school, I think. and then that was it for that. And every yeah. other day was flying, so I was really pleasantly surprised with that.
Yeah.
And I honestly can't say there was anything I wish I could change. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And what you expected, or were you surprised that you enjoyed it so much, kind of going to school?
I was expecting to like it, and even liked it more than that.
Very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
To know us is to love us, I guess, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You've got to get that word out.
There's a... to know us is to love us. I like that, you know, but it's kind of... We need to share that. We need to share that with everybody else, though.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm thinking, even why I asked the question. If some people don't know they love it, and it to go up, all of a sudden they say, hey, I do love this. I mean, even, Brian, you may not know this, but I took 25 years offline, and after the first year or two, I didn't miss it. I had forgotten about it. Then it's just a chance flight back in 2004. And it was, oh my goodness, I forgot how much I love this.
Oh.
And inflicted. So there's that little pilot light inside all of us, and when it's ignited, it really takes hold. So do you have plans about when you want to get your license by, and then once you get your license, what you want to do with it?
I have the thought. The thought is to be a commercial pilot.
Oh, cool.
But no idea how to get there yet. And so, if I can, next birthday, I'll do my private pilot's license, and we'll see how that goes, and then just each year taking the step up and working towards that.
Yeah.
Is there anything, though, let's say you got your pilot's license in a year, what would be some of the first trips that you'd do?
I'm not really sure. My whole family, we've joked about, my grandpa has a house up in Kenosha.
Perfect.
So we could fly up there. It'd be a lot quicker than the drive.
And even if it's not, it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Well, let me.
I can just see. I'm just picturing a 17-year-old young man taking mom and dad. I'm taking, or you're paying mom and dad, but I'm taking you to lunch at Madison, Wisconsin, Iowa City, or wherever, Indianapolis.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
That would be perfect. That's doing something they couldn't do for you. You're going to do for them.
Right.
We should put that in the book.
Absolutely. Well, I got my license in high school, right? And I always thought about it, you know, so what could I do with my license? I just thought it'd be great to take a girl on a date or ask a girl out on prom or something. I kind of know what you want to do in the meantime with your license. So have you ever thought about taking your friends up or going to prom or anything like that?
It has crossed my mind. I've always thought most creative way to ask would to be get a banner behind the plane.
Yeah.
And just fly around the school until she sees it.
You might need a special commercial license for towing the banner, but maybe Al would do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll get it going. That'd be awesome. So no, that's there's some, and that'd be a real, you know, pile a few friends in the plane, and you know, instead of going to Applebee's for the prom dinner, you go to Eagle Creek in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, yeah.
That'd be awesome. So, yeah, you'll have to check that out. But that's pretty cool. I like that. Anyway, there's a I just got word that ethanolive.com was down for a few minutes. So I guess we had a lot of people tuning into our show, but we just got word that that it's
Wait
back
a minute.
Up and running.
How much time did they miss? Did they miss my joke?
No. No, but so anyway, I just want to apologize for anybody that was listening and was momentarily interrupted. I guess it's back on live now. And
how long was it out?
I think it was out for about 5-10 minutes or so. But that's all right. Welcome back, and thanks for listening. And if you have any questions, we're here with Brian Reedy, and soon we're going to get our other friend Sam Scales on the phone. And if you have any questions for Brian or Sam, feel free to call us live at 312-436-0356. You'll be live on the show with us. Or you can come on Twitter, Facebook, email. Please visit simpleflight.net. Look up our radio show, and you'll see all of the outlets there to get a hold of us. And there's also a live chat feature. If you're too nervous to do any of that, you can send us a question via the live chat feature on thanolive.com. But how about we get our other friend on the phone, Sam Scales, and kind of see what his plans are too.
All right. So you want to have Sam introduce himself, or are you going to tell us a little background on Sam?
Yeah. So anyway, Sam is a good guy. I've flown with him a couple times. We went up down the lakefront and we went out to Schaumburg at Pilot Pete's, and he just moved to Florida for college, and the first thing he does shows up in his first week of college, and Hurricane Isaac's come up, so he's already been in week one. He's evacuated the dorms, but I think he's just getting to the point where he's about ready to solo. He's picked out a flight school down there, and it should be a lot of fun, for him to finish up his license while he's in college. And I got to go down to Jack Brown Seaplane Base, which is kind of near where he's going to school in October. So we're going to I'm going to go see him and look at his flight school and come out to the seaplane base. So
that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it should be pretty fun. So let's see.
Why don't we have our producer see if he can't get him on the line?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see what. Let's see if he's around.
Better luck with the meat tires.
Yeah, right.
Hey, how's it going?
Sam, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey,
good.
Yeah, we're live on the show. Welcome.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely. So we talked, I gave you a little, pumped you up a little bit about you're down in Florida, about ready to finish your solo, or do your first solo flight. Are you pretty excited about that?
I am. I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah, that should be pretty cool. So what airplane do you think you're going to do it in?
The Piper Archer 3.
Nice. That's a pretty cool airplane.
That's the same airplane that our current guest, Brian Reedy, who's just had his 16th birthday and his first solo, soloed
right.
in the Piper Archer 3, just like you.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Sam.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Sam, do you know Brian? So you both went to New Trier, or go to New Trier, right?
I go, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway... We're kind of talking about what you're going to do with your pilot's license, Sam. What do you think you're going to do when you get your license?
Well, I definitely intend to take it farther beyond just the private pilot's license.
Yeah.
But once I do get my license, taking the ladies up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's
exactly
right.
That's what we were just talking to Brian.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. That's pulling the pilot card out. Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about all these 50s and 60-year-old pilots that are or wannabe pilots. Maybe that's how we get them involved, too. We'll have to ask their spouses, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're going to be a baller down in college, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Brian, you need to take notes.
Will do.
No, that's pretty cool. So you're going to go, how do you feel that, you're getting your pilot's license during, going to school and all that? Do you think you're going to write about, if you take an English class and say write a paper, do you think you're going to write a paper about flying or getting your license?
Absolutely. Especially something as big as this, it's not like getting your driver's license. It's a huge achievement and, it's a little under-recognized, but definitely it's something I'd love to write about and, love to express because it's just so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a good thing. I mentioned this last week, but when I was in high school, I got my license and I wrote about it in creative writing class, and the funny thing was is that I kept getting points taken off of my poems because I was writing about aviation too much. There's few points to be had in college, so make sure you don't lose any points.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, cool. So that's going to be pretty cool. So now you're going to go out and hopefully get some, take some friends up and all that. Is there any place in Florida that you're looking forward to going?
Yeah, definitely flying down to the Keys. It's a bit of a hike in the Archer or one of the Cessnas, but, it's a beautiful flight right along the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Down through Naples, and that's just gorgeous down the coast.
Absolutely. Get some key lime pie.
Absolutely.
Don't go there now, though. We just checked, and the airport's closed for the hurricane.
Yeah.
So how?
Get out of there.
So that was pretty interesting. How was Did you ever imagine yourself as? I know that you were down in Florida, but had to evacuate out of your dorms. You're back in Chicago now. But when you were at the airport, did you envision yourself at all, maybe flying these people around or thinking, hey, if both the pilots have fish, and the flight attendant says, hey, are there any pilots on board? Do you ever feel like, yeah, I'm going to volunteer?
Yeah, this is actually the first time I took a commercial flight since I started working on my pilot's license, and it was just interesting, watching from the passenger side, watching them taxi and stuff. Like, oh, I know exactly how to do this and that, and
yeah,
it's weird. And then during the takeoffs and stuff, you can you visualize yourself flying it. It's weird once you do it. It's weird.
Yeah. Right. Definitely.
When I fly, I usually end up talking to whoever I'm sitting next to about airplanes. And, of course, then you become the rock star. When they think that airplane's falling out of the sky, you say, no, we've got a few more minutes before that happens. But
yeah.
I used to do a social experience. So when I flew for the airlines, I would sit. You had to ride in the back. It was called deadheading. And I would, every time we hit turbulence, I would clinch down my seatbelt. And then I'm in my pilot's uniform, and usually in the middle seat. I'd clench down my seatbelt and start mumbling the Lord's Prayer. Just kind of as a see what everybody would do. And some people, then I felt start to feel really bad because people did get nervous at that point, but it was a riot. But so here's a question for you. Do you have a lot of friends that are looking, that are as excited about aviation as you are?
You know, I haven't explored that as much at school yet, just because I've, just been trying to meet a bunch of new people at once. But, I've talked to a few people about it, and everyone's just, asking to be taken up. And, because once you do it, if you fall in love with it, there's nothing you can do to fix that.
Right, definitely. So what about, obviously you want to take your pilot's license on a much farther scale than just flying around as a private pilot. But what do you think that it would be? What's a good way to get people that are your age involved in aviation?
I think the biggest barrier for young people getting their pilot's license is, first of all, money, and then second of all, just the time constraint.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot to handle.
Right. Especially for some people, in high school, that's a lot to juggle, and even further on into college, higher education, you even have more to juggle. You have real life and school, and then you also have these, it's a whole nother life as a pilot.
Right.
It's a lot of work, and but for me it's worth it. It's kind of just one of those things you give up to do it.
Absolutely. Well, that's cool that you're doing it, and props to you for going at it, and especially finishing up your license down in freshman year of college. I mean, there's a lot going on, so awesome that you're doing that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I this is Mark. I have a question for you, though, just the same we asked Brian. You talk about the cost and the time commitment, but it also seems like people just don't have it as a consideration or as an option for themselves. And I'm wondering, why do you think that is? What do people of your age, or Brian's at 16, why aren't they considering aviation as, if not a career, or at least something that's really fun to do?
Right. Well, I think, when you're in high school and in college, you have your sports. For me, that was sailing. For some people, tennis, basketball, baseball, swimming. And, it's very rare that you'll have any aviation involvement in, your social life. Almost all my friends that are pilots who are my age have parents who are pilots. So you have to have that connection somewhere. And I think, it's just not something that's been exposed as much.
Right.
It's not really a household thing to talk of.
Right, yeah. So, well, I think there's that confirms that long-term exposure to aviation. So if your parents do it or do something cool like that, or somebody that does, they have a pretty big impact on you to for long term exposure like that. So
right.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm a firm believer in that. But here we got a tweet that just came in. How about that? This goes to both of you guys, for both you new career goers. And the question is, let's see here. We have the question is, does New Trier still offer Aviation 101 as a high school class?
I do not believe so. There is an aviation club that I was a part of for a while. I don't think they still offer that as a course.
Brian, how about what you mentioned something like that, right?
Yeah, I've never heard of this course actually, but I am a member of the club. I believe the dates changed now going into the new year, but it was Tuesdays last year, and it's a great place.
How many people, both Brian and Sam, how many people were attending those club meetings?
In my experience, I've generally seen this a consistent 3 or 4, and then every so often, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 will jump in.
Yeah. Is there any way that you, or Sam, how many people were in the club when you were there?
It was about the same, 3 or 4 people who are really committed, and everyone who was committed to coming to the club was a student pilot, and then the people who just came, were expressed interest in it, and, you kind of never heard from them again.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any way that that could be a one way to start exposing people as to promote the club within the school. I don't know if any internal student advertising or anything, but just keep pushing the good word about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, not just pushing word about the club itself, but the club actually doing, activities, whether it's simulators or actually taking people up in these airplanes. Because that's the reason that I really kind of fell in love with aviation is when I was in Alaska last summer, on our NOLS course in the mountains, anything that we wanted was flown in by, this guy, Mr. Meekins, who flew a bush pilot. He was a bush pilot. He'd land on these little strips, and I was like, oh, that looks so cool. So I came back home and, did an introductory flight, and, you touch those controls, and you roll the airplane, you turn, and, it's just something that you don't want to not do.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Now, you mentioned the club at New Trier, but I'm also thinking, even at this airport and airports all over the country, there's Aviation Explorers, which I think is an offshoot of the Boy Scouts. Did either of you, were you aware of Aviation Explorers, and why or why not didn't you join it?
Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, sorry. I never heard about it until I started taking lessons at Executive Airport because, there's a little flyers up. I think that's a great way to expose people to aviation, especially because the Boy Scouts is such a big, big group. I think that's a great way to do it. I think they should promote it probably a little more because I never heard of it. I think just trying to get the aviation word out to every, kind of student or, like Boy Scouts or church organizations that, are out there and getting people interested.
I personally, that's the first I've ever heard of Aviation Explorers. I know the Civil Air Patrol was something I always saw. I actually, a friend from camp who lives up in northern Wisconsin is a member of theirs, and he really enjoys it. But that's the most I've heard of really outside of any flight club.
Yeah, that's interesting, and obviously it speaks to us getting the word out, us as a pilot community. But in addition to that, did either of you get involved with Young Eagles and take the free flight that was offered on a weekend here or there at many airports across the country?
I did not.
Neither did I.
All right. Were you even aware before I just said that just now that there was such a program?
No.
Same here, nah.
Wow, yeah, there's the EA for teenagers, 17 and under, a free flight and a free ground school, actually, from Sporties that allows you to pass your private written. Matter of fact, I know you, Brian, are still eligible. How old are you, Sam?
Oh, I'm 18.
Oh. We'll go on. That's okay.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, but no, we need to do a better job of of promoting such a thing. So what would, you know, so for those of you that are eligible for, you know, or like Brian, you know, how would we get the word out to the people that, to that are your age and Sam, you know, how would you tweeting or flyers or Facebook or video or YouTube or what do you think would be the best way to let people know that they can have a free flight?
I think any group or gathering of, you know, teenagers, whether that's school or like the Boy Scouts or anything like that, just trying to get the word out. I wish I had heard it as a free flight. That'd be awesome. But yeah, I think just getting the word out, to these groups, you know, it's hard to do it independently. You know, if you start promoting it in schools or in, like community organizations, I mean, you can really spread that word fast.
I would say the same thing. I know I'm always on Facebook or YouTube.
Yeah.
And so some page on that, a website on that would be really good. Also, before I found Leading Edge, just, I was always investigating where can I fly. And so just a really well set up website. I'm sure they have them, but I never stumbled upon it. But just something like that could really draw in people.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that there's a, you know, we could do a much better job of appealing, you know, getting the word out pretty easily, you know, if we were to work smarter, not harder, type thing.
Right.
You know, just appeal to the types of, you know, the platforms that we're on every day, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, YouTube and stuff. You know, how awesome would it be to just send a text message, you get a link to a YouTube video on how you can get a free flight. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that there's some pretty creative ways that we can do to promote things like this.
And Sam, I want to ask you, before you were on the line here, we were talking to Brian about his flight training experience, which he said was very positive and exceeded his expectations. What about you? Well, how was your experience and how did it compare to your expectations?
I mean, it definitely exceeded my expectations, because I had gone flying with, you know, friends, family friends, you know, up in their airplanes and, you know, and then you actually take these lessons where you're in control. You know, I flew with Al, and it was incredible. It completely exceeded, like, that feeling, because you have this craving just to fly, and, oh, man, it feels so good when you finally do.
Yeah, so you flew with Al, and even after that, you continued to want to fly?
Yeah, every time, you know,
That was a diss. Yeah, that was a diss.
Yeah, sorry about that, Al. But wow. I saw the opportunity. I had it.
Yeah, you went for it. That's a Top Gun thing. I saw it, and I saw it, and I took the shot.
That's right.
Right. But no, that's cool. Well, hopefully we'll fly some more here. And I know in early October I'm going to be head down to the Tampa area and do my seaplane rating with a couple other college flying buddies. So Sam, hopefully we'll be able to connect up. We'd like to see your flight school and all that, and come on out and have fun at the seaplane base.
Absolutely, that would be a blast.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you very much for calling in tonight. And you know, this is kind of a, I think this is just kind of the beginning to all this, and you know, your guys' input is pretty valuable. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
Congratulations, and keep it going. Let us know when you solo.
I will. Thank you guys very much.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well, you pulled off that technical thing. That's very good.
Yeah, how about that? We're making and too soon, but one small step for Simple Flight Radio, one giant leap for aviation kind.
How appropriate!
How
this
about
week?
That?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I saw the opportunity and I had to take it. But Brian, kind of hearing that, what you know, does that kind of inspire you? Or do you see any like things that could be fixed, you know, with your generation, on how to promote aviation, you know, not hearing all these different programs that exist that, you know, obviously nobody knows about, you know, that's a pretty big problem.
Yeah, well, so far in my experience, it's been just anyone I know who likes aviation has always liked aviation, like we've
right.
been talking about. So to get more people interested, definitely just online is the best way to do it, because everyone's online.
Right, definitely. I think that... Mark, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, you keep promising to become, help me become more attuned to social media. I mean, I have a Facebook account. I've got the Twitter thing going, but I just don't think there's anything I can tweet about that anyone would find interesting. But so
I got a tweet about you right now.
Uh-oh.
Why we do this? So keep going.
All right. So I think what I'm hearing is not only do we need to get the word out the old ways. Like, you know, I mentioned last week, I'm going to be calling my high school. I've actually already started the process to see if I can't get in front of some of the science classes or business classes. But if we can get a tweet thing going or a social media conversation going, and I'm wondering if Nutrier is found something in this aviation club.
Yeah.
You know, we can do that a lot of places.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it takes people like Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner to go to these high schools and say, I want to sponsor a club.
Yeah, right.
Right, and get a local teacher to lead it, maybe the science teacher, and we can come and we can provide guest speakers and all, and that
right.
Just to start building momentum one school at a time.
Absolutely. So what if we did Brian, is there, I don't know, what does your club do? Do they ever allow guest speakers to come in or, pilots come in or go do airport field trips or anything like that?
I've never seen any guest speakers come in. I'm sure it could be arranged. So far, just you do a simulator every once in a while. One of the members gets up and does a presentation about something aviation.
Yeah.
But there have been airport trips out to PWK here.
Yeah.
And you could definitely set something like that up.
Or a tower tour.
Yeah, a tower tour. You know, a couple people that could help out with those.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be pretty cool.
So it's a weekly meeting?
Yeah.
And you say every now and then you do the sim. What if it's not a sim day and it's not a PWK day? What are you going to talk about for an hour or whatever you get together?
The sim is, as far as it's every chance they have to get it up, it's up. You don't necessarily do it the entire time. You'll, if a kid has prepared a presentation, I know last couple times I've went, there was an ongoing presentation about the uses of aviation in military, which was really interesting, and that was all student prepared.
Wow.
And then, unfortunately, I was unable to make the last tour at the airport here. But there's always something to do.
But is it sometimes just conversation?
You'll occasionally. It's in a
hangar flying at a high school level. I love it.
That's great.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking, you know, maybe there is something where we can...
Yeah, get some movement going.
Yeah, and take some videos in and say, hey, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I think that there's some, you're right. I think there is some great opportunity. And, you know, here's some, we'll put some booster rockets on your club a little bit, you know. And, we could have some videos or bring in flight simulator. We can fly some cool approaches if you become an airline pilot, some maybe like the River Visual 19 into DCA and different things like that. It doesn't have to be anything. Grant will just be out there to help out and talk. That'd be pretty cool.
And so maybe that's something we'll talk to you after the show, Brian. Maybe that's something you sponsor to your clubmates that, I want to have a couple, one professional pilot and one general aviation weekend pilot, myself. You know, maybe we could come in and chat up and bring donuts.
Absolutely. Oh, that'd be a riot. I'm already excited.
I am too. Let's do it now. Let's see if anyone's at the high school.
Knock on the doors. We'll probably overextend our stay, but because Hangar Talk seems it's ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's cool. I'm glad you mentioned that because I think that's pretty important, and I know from our standpoint, you know, that's been a pretty big effort to try to reach out to younger people, and maybe we can, you know, maybe the Nutrier Aviation Club can be the forefather of reaching out to all the other high schools. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, like, again, there could be a groundswell here. It's and it's amazing how simple something like that can be.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't, again, when I think back to my high school years, and yes, they did have high schools back then.
Yeah.
We had ski club.
Yeah.
And that's what you did, and then every now and then you'd go to a ski hill, which we could never call a ski mountain, except we are in the Midwest.
Right.
But there was never any opportunity to do something like this, and
sure.
I just think it's so cool.
Absolutely. There's a guy, so we got a tweet back. from the same guy, the guy Todd that runs myflightblog.com.
All right.
He asked that question. He went to New Trier, and that was back in 1988. He took Aviation 101. And he said, you know, when he was there, it was actually a formal class that you could sign up for, just like chemistry or math class or history, you know, for credit. That would be cool. I would be in it, like, take that class over and over and over again, right? But he says he's really extremely glad to hear that there's an aviation club still there. And you know what he said?
What?
Let's take those guys flying.
Yeah.
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 If there's only four of them, even seven.
Right.
Yeah. Let's take some of the teachers flying.
Absolutely. That'd be a lot of fun. We should, should do something like that.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. So if you have any other, for the listeners out there, fellow aviators and aviation buffs, and you have any questions for Brian Reedy, young pilot, feel free to call in live on the show. That's area code 312-436-0356. He's going to be with us here for another 10-15 minutes or so, so make sure that you get those questions in. He'd love to hear from you. And if you're afraid of being live on the show with us, you can go to simpleflight.net, look up our radio show, and you'll see ways to tweet us, email us, and text us and all that. So do that, or you can go to athanolive.com and use the live interactive chat function.
If indeed it's up and running.
It sure is. It's on there. I'm here. I'm looking. I'm waiting for somebody to step up and ask a question, but on the chat function. So feel free. We got, I think we're on to something here. That's what I love about this show, is we're on to something.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat because it's this is part of our goals of the show to help figure out ways to promote aviation, and it's cool when things like this kind of surface.
Well, like you say, I don't know if it's an adrenaline rush or something else, but I'm ready to leave here and go put some of these things in place. Like, I'm going to go to my local high school, and in addition to talking to them, ask if we can't put together an aviation club.
Yeah.
See if there's any interest. Just
sure.
Get a flyer out. And if there is, I'll do what it takes to play a leadership role. I mean,
right.
It's just so simple.
Absolutely. We could do what'd be neat is to start combining all the different clubs. You know, if we get three from New Trier, three from my high school, OPRF, three from Maine East, and Stevenson High School. We just all, now all of a sudden we have a ton of people, here.
And just you have high school versus high school in football and basketball.
Right.
We could do our own little spot landing contest or something. Or like we talked the first week, we talked about doing a scavenger hunt.
Right.
Let's fly here and take a picture of this, and let's fly there and build some aviation experiences.
The best school wins.
That's right.
Yeah, a nice aviation scavenger hunt. And
they get to put a banner in their gymnasium.
Right, absolutely.
Aviation Club of the Year. State winner, state champion.
That'd be great. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Actually, we talk about young people thinking, it's not just young, but there was something I saw on the news this week about the EAA opening up, and I'm hesitating as I... Chapter 1240 set to break ground for a new aviation development center. This is actually opened up break ground yesterday. The community participation support of the EAA chapter of Sebring, Florida is building an aviation development center that will serve as the EAA chapter home base and a venue for community aviation education programs. So basically, when they're going to done, they'll have a 60-foot by 70-foot center, which will house a 40 by 70 foot hangar, leaving the remaining space for classrooms, bathrooms, and storage. And they'll have two aircraft to store there that was donated for youth education programs, a 1958 Tri-Champ and a 1946 Aronca Champ. Students are in the process of replacing the aircraft fabric coverings using new, environmentally friendly process. Project aircraft and other support equipment will be moved into the Aviation Development Center in October. So how cool is that? Now it's not at a high school level, but at a community level, almost to what you
That's
were talking
perfect.
About. and give them a place to work on airplanes and to learn about aviation. And it doesn't say, but I suspect at some point someone's going to fly these things after they put them back in shape and once the FAA said they're flyable.
Absolutely. So that's it. That's kind of a cool project. And, you know, I would to have something and be able to go and hang out around airplanes. And I kind of like that they're using environmental friendly products. You know, that's kind of a neat way of fitting in, you know, in the modern sense. You know, there's a whole eco drive behind a lot of this stuff now, and and that's cool that they're combining a great experience, you know, environmental friendly products as well as airplanes, most importantly, is the bonding agent. You know, it's really cool.
The bonding agent.
I
can just see it now. Aviation, the bonding agent.
Yeah, right. Bond, James Bond.
Yeah, shaking that stirred.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, I think that this is a great little kind of investigation, you know, what turned into an investigation, and on how we can help reach out to high school clubs. And so, Brian, when you go back to your when's the next time aviation club meets?
Potentially this week, but it's at least going to get started within the next 3 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, nice. So you should definitely you can even show everybody when you show up for your first meeting. Say, hey, I was on an aviation radio show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Well, and I happen to have a video of his first solo.
Excellent.
So we could share that. Yeah, are you going to?
I could, yeah, probably. Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, are you the only one in the club that soloed?
I believe one other member has.
Nice.
And then one other is getting prepared, too.
Oh, that's cool. So you said sometimes there's three or four, and sometimes there's up to seven. What is it that keeps those other three or four from showing up on a regular basis?
I would say it's either just that they have conflicts every once in a while, or that maybe they get a little worried since the rest of us are student pilots. Maybe they're not quite sure if they're up for that, but...
You mean a little intimidated?
Yeah, we definitely try to keep it back. It's not all aviation talk.
Yeah.
And we give them...
It's hard to do.
Yeah, I know. And we give them the most time at the simulator, explain it all to them, and they all seem to really enjoy it.
Right.
I want to talk to this group.
Yeah, so do
I'm feeling
I
got a little anxious in my seat here. I go, how do I get this? Yeah. We'll work together.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That'd
make
be pretty
that
cool.
Happen. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And have some. Maybe we could have some more of have the entire club on the show at some point. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. Well, no,
as long as they each come with a joke.
Yeah, that's gonna be I'm gonna be on the floor, stitches, crying, laughter. But anyway, no, this has been great. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you.
For
I appreciate
being with
you
us.
Taking the Sunday night out. It probably didn't get any of his homework done, and it's going to be our fault.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that was it's for a good cause.
Yeah, for
we'll
sure.
Take the heat.
Yeah,
take the heat.
Yeah,
you know, have him call into the show, your teachers, and we'll explain
mm-hmm.
why.
There you
but,
go.
But no, this has been great. Thank you very much, and we're going to be looking forward to hearing more about your pursuit and getting your license and sharing that with us. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, look forward to keep flying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as even in magazines, I was reading this week's Flying magazine, they talk about reducing the cost of flying, and it talks about just hitchhiking, right? And you and I have talked about this, Brian, that even though your goal was to solo and now it's go back to school and then come back
mm-hmm.
later maybe in the summer, We take a lot of flights, and those back seats are open, and we don't charge for people to come fly with us. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and any of the listeners, you know, that's not just here. It's everywhere. There's always uh-huh. people willing to take people along for a ride. It is a close-knit community.
Right. Absolutely. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, Brian.
And
thank you.
Thank
and,
you.
We'll do that. And for those listeners out there, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We're going to come back to the show, and keeping with the theme of staying young, we have a subject matter that we're going to bring up and talk about to help stay young and keep flying strong. So Once we come back, we'll touch on that and be happy to take your calls. Visit us on simpleflight.net, the radio page. You can text and tweet your comments or call in live 312-436-0356. All right, we'll be right back.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come on, fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you may hear all the angels cheer, because we're together weather-wise. It's such a lovely day, just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It is perfect for a flying honeymoon. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers, just because we're together weather-wise. It's such a cuckoo day, you just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away. Pack a small bag.
All right, how about that? What a great song.
That is. I didn't think I'd be thinking about Frank Sinatra tonight. But
yeah, exactly. Well, come fly with us, and that's a, you know, hopefully we can go say that to the aviation club at New Trier. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, I totally think this is something we can take to other high schools and get something going, at least regionally.
You know, absolutely.
You know, you combine a few high schools and maybe it rotates, but that's for some brainstorming later on. I really appreciate Brian coming here on a Sunday night, and Sam participating.
Definitely. Well, that's great. Well, in order for us to maintain all this energy and the youthfulness and in aviation, there's something that I kind of want to bring up, and it's very useful for probably a lot of us, and maybe, you know, it's kind of geared towards professional aviators, but I think a lot of people can see this in their life of you know, being a pretty big issue, and that is staying healthy on the road.
Yeah, so it's not just aviators. I mean, I, as you know, I've been involved with sales for a lot of years, and it's amazing when you think of the travel, and this is anywhere in the travels, right? They're going to be in a hotel, and in sales especially, things are very social.
Absolutely.
So you're not always eating and drinking right, and the activity's down. I know I don't like to even stay overnight, so I do personally some get up real early and leave real late to come home so I don't get a hotel stay.
Right.
And that means there's no exercise. Mm-hmm. And then again, I'm not eating right. So I don't know if that's what you're alluding to, but
yeah,
that's what I think of when you say that.
Absolutely. It's kind of a big problem, especially for professional, you know, aviators or somebody that lives a lifestyle on the road, sales or, you know, being a professional aviator, it's a, your full-time job description is really to always be somewhere where you're not.
Yeah.
And which is kind of it's kind of weird when you start thinking about it, but yeah, there's been plenty of nights where I wasn't in the same bed, you know, every single night in a month, which sounds like a big Casanova. But that's the reality of it. One night you're in New York, the next night you're in Seattle, Texas, San Francisco, Wichita, Kansas, Hastings, Nebraska, all over the place. Back at your house for a quick laundry stop and then hitting the road again. So it's a pretty big problem, you know, and you know I certainly want to enjoy aviation as long as I can. So this is something that's coming. You know, as a professional aviator, let's put it this way. The FAA says I'm 195 pounds, which is unbelievably flattering because that's my calculated weight, a crew member's weight in the airplane with their luggage. So I'm even skinnier than that. But the reality is that the airplane really takes off when I get out. So so there's a promoting a healthy lifestyle on the road is something that's pretty near and dear to me. You know, there is a big social element. So you have whether you're an airline crew, you go out with your flight crew and unwind over a couple drinks and you know, some chicken wings or a hamburger and French fries. Yeah, so there's a dietary portion of this. There's a exercise portion. So part of this that you know that's a pretty big hurdle because sometimes you'll wake up at 3 a.m. to go fly all your flights, and you'll be flying, you know, 20, you know, you'll be on up for about 20 hours. The last thing, you're not going to wake up at 2 a.m. to go exercise, and you're not going to certainly, you're exhausted the end of the night. You're not going to go out and exercise, you know. So where do you get it in between? You know, there's that, and having healthy foods and at your house, you know, going grocery shopping, that's a pretty big deal because you're doing laundry in your home for a day. So all your food usually spoils if you go, you know, go to the grocery store before that. So I think that it's a bigger problem than what's actually eating right and getting exercise because it's pretty tough to do that on the road.
Right, right. I can see that, but as I mentioned, when I think of business travel, it's very different than a pilot's business travel.
Right.
Because the hours, all the things you just mentioned, so... You know, you say this is near and dear to your heart. What are you doing about it?
Well, I'm trying to figure it out. So there's I'll have a salad. Well, you know, on a salad only goes so far on the road, or sometimes you skip a meal and you're just absolutely starving, right? So then you say, oh, I'm going to have the hamburger because it's going to fill you up or something like that. So I'm trying to figure out the easiest way to eat well and to get the right amount of exercise in your daily life and as a professional, you know, road traveler, I guess. And this is a big hurdle of mine, and you know, that aviation's all fun, but you know, I'd like to be around later in my years and still pass a medical and do that. So that's going to be this is going to be kind of a neat challenge. I think we're going to have some fun with this and trying to. I've got a friend. Her name is Jen. She's going to be kind of a. She's going to come on the show regularly and talk about little. We're going to kind of develop a exercise routine, diet routine, snacks you could pack on the road, little 10-minute exercises you can do in the hotel room before you go to bed or you know when you wake up, and then do another set when you go to bed. You know, so keep it simple, keep it easy, keep it fun. You know, because you'll be more inclined to do it on the road.
Yeah, I can just see the discipline it'll take.
Absolutely.
But, you know, again, you want to do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to you and nobody else.
Right, absolutely. You know, there's I'm sure there's some other people on that listeners, they can see that. You know, I know that there's a lot of, you know, here's one good example. I had, in July of last year, I had my, you know, I was flying for an airline, so I was an airline pilot, and the only overnight that I had for the entire month was Dallas, Texas. So we fly into Dallas, Texas, and, you know, there's 15 out of the 30 days of, 31 days in July, I was in Dallas, Texas, at the same hotel. I got the same hotel room many times, but there was only a gas station and a Denny's within walking distance and van driving distance. So,
gas station and Denny's.
Yeah.
And you probably both gave you gas.
you're probably right about that, but I feel bad for the captain, you know, the next day. But no, seriously, mm-hmm. So here's the reality of it. Okay, what are you going to do? Go to Denny's or a gas station for lunch or dinner or whatever, or three out of you know, your meal. You know,
right?
You're there for 24 hours. You know, getting a cab is pretty expensive to go anywhere. So you're going to walk to Denny's. There are times where you had Denny's three times a day for, you know, 15 days out of the month. When you actually verbalize that, that's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty tough obstacle to cover. So I think that there's, you know, there's trying to be in pursuit of a better way of doing things, maybe make it a little bit easier. Nothing says that you can't do it, but... you know, we'll see.
Maybe have your employer put you into a better hotel.
Yeah.
Or better surroundings.
Right. Absolutely. So here's a we got a, somebody just emailed in as a kind of a technical way of keeping track of calories and things. So there's a Mr. Todd, he gave us a good recommendation. He runs myflightblog.com, and he says MyFitnessPal app on the iPhone. It's a great way of tracking calories, and Fitbit. It's a great way to keep track of activity. So it's pretty interesting. You know, it's you know, you have these apps and things like that. I've actually have a couple of them. I don't think I have those, so I'll definitely check those out. But that's kind of a neat way, you know. Maybe, you know, it gives you kind of a visualization, you know, of when you are in these situations where you have to eat at Denny's, or there's the only place to, that is the only place, your only option to grab food. Yeah,
but
you'd be able to.
Yeah, but you can still order right at those places. I know the temptation is to add fries and get the burger
right.
And all that. And it's so easy to say sitting here in this room, yet, you know, I have my 2-minute feeding. It seems like every day I've got a snack and I eat like crap.
Right. Yeah.
Technical term.
Seriously. But yeah. Eating right at those places is okay. You have to get a salad, and it's iceberg lettuce, a tomato wedge, and ranch dressing.
Yeah. No. Good point. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's right. You know, so that at the end of the day, that's like, okay, do you want, you know, 30 meals like that throughout your whole month as being a iceberg set, you know? So there's this problem is a lot deeper than, yeah, you can eat healthy at these kinds of places, but mm-hmm. maybe the solution is bringing snacks or your own food on the road, or maybe a hot, even eating the hamburger at Denny's but doing a high impact workout, you know, that would cover that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, you know. It's kind of a tough problem.
It is, you know. It's probably only tangentially connected, but my youngest son, his junior year, he studied abroad.
Yeah.
And he is so disciplined in what he eats and his diet, and he was frustrated because he was in Italy, and, you know, a lot of carbs and,
yeah, right, the good stuff.
That's what I'm saying. You're in Italy.
Go for it.
Right. And oh no, how do I get my protein? And again, he's got it down to a science. But you know, each person, if it's indeed a goal,
right?
You put together a plan to achieve your goal, and he did. And when he came back, he got better at it. You know,
right.
Because it was easier to eat that way here, but I'm impressed with him and anyone that could do that, because we can be given the tools, like Todd just wrote in about the assist you can get, your friend Jen and all that, but ultimately it's going to up to each and every one of us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's kind of a, we've talked about this in previous shows of taking ownership of goals. So this is kind of, this is a pretty big goal of mine, and, hopefully use Jen's recommendations and help, hopefully help others, who have this problem on the road. Not necessarily even in aviation, but, you could, like you said, be a sales guy on the road. And this definitely applies to many professions, right?
Sure.
So hopefully, me taking ownership of my goal, using the show maybe as a little accountability tool, and having some,
So am I hearing that we should bring a scale?
I think so. We should.
Before we start, you're going to weigh yourself, and we put competition in for that TV show called The Biggest Loser. I've always said you're the biggest loser I know.
Yeah.
<Da-dum-boom. Shh. laughs>
Try the veal. I'll be here all night.
Yeah. Is this thing on?
Yeah. Hot mic. No, but I think I'm kind of excited about this because this is pretty important to me. And I think everybody could probably use a little help in this. And
absolutely.
If anything, that, it should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
let's. What do you think we transition on to a little hangar flying here over this last half?
Yeah, that was a pretty deep conversation there. Yeah. So I think let's lighten the mood up, and I love hangar talk.
Yeah, I love hangar talk too. Where's some French fries? Oh, wait a minute, we better not do that.
We want maybe celery sticks and hummus.
There you go. I had hummus in my salmon salad for dinner tonight.
Yeah, right. So
that was pretty good, actually.
If anybody has any aviation questions, comments, concerns, call-outs, or let us know what your favorite airplane is. Feel free, during Hangar Talk, to let us know. You call in live, area code 312-436-0356. We'd love to hear from you, figure out what your favorite airplane is, or hear your favorite flying story flight that you've had, or you can find us on Twitter. Go to www.simpleflight.net, our radio show page. You'll find all the ways to get a hold of us on that, or thonalive.com, and use the interactive chat feature. So
you talk about your favorite airplane, and it's so funny, at Flying Magazine they did a top 100 airplanes.
Really?
Yeah. What? Don't say really, because I was reading it, and then Austin, I like to read feedback.
Yeah.
And I see something from A. Waterloo, and I go, I know that guy. I don't even know what you said, but it was interesting. I thought, like many of the people that respond, I go, there may have been lots and lots of airplanes made, but our mental universe for it is not that big. So when you say 100, I feel like you can include everything.
Yeah,
I just thought that was a big number.
It was a huge number. There's so many airplanes. There was some pretty surprising aircraft. I don't know the exact list, but there's some old, the Beach 2000 Starship. Do you remember that?
Whoa, no.
No, yeah, that's a pretty cool airplane.
Actually, when you say what's your favorite airplane,
right.
Actually, let me ask you that before I give you my answer. What, Al? What's your favorite airplane?
Well. Jeez, there's so many to choose from. And I feel like it changes daily, but I'm going to go with my most consistent answer, and that's a Cessna 152.
No way.
Way.
Really?
Way.
Wow. Yeah, that wouldn't even that wouldn't hit very high in my list. But I have to admit, a lot of pilots, especially those with a long history, have so much more experience with some of the more historic ones. I think I've flown a club. I have my tail wheel endorsement. I think when I was in Iowa City way back when, flew a club a little bit. And I think I could fall in love with that. But when I just think of what I've seen in the magazines, not only what I've flown, the one that speaks to me that I've never even been in is a Beach Staggerwing.
Oh,
I just think that is such a cool looking airplane.
Absolutely.
And I wish there were some around. I know they have fly-in Beach Staggerwing fly-ins in I think in Tennessee, or I forget where now, but I saw one that wasn't too far from here, and I committed to myself that if they do that on an annual basis, I do need to get there.
Yeah. You know what the Staggerwings, the full make model number is?
Yeah, actually, oh my goodness, I almost, wouldn't that be, that's, does it begin with a 17 or so?
Yeah.
It is a V17?
Yeah. Beach 17 stagger wing.
Yep. No, I truly have always loved that airplane. I haven't studied it a lot, but I always remember seeing that type of thing. I don't know what it flies like, but boy, right. It just is beautiful.
It'd be amazing. You know what my favorite aircraft in that vintage era is?
No, let me think. Cessna 152.
No. Well, those things are starting to get pretty vintage now. Yeah. You know, they stopped making them a long time ago. But there's something that really that clicks with me with the Cessna 195 business liner. You know what those look like?
Yeah, it's a tail dragger, right?
Yeah, tail dragger. Yeah. It's kind of like the, I don't know, there's something cool about the name.
Is it like the Skywagon, the 185?
No, it has a radial engine.
Well, so, okay, you're, yep, I know exactly one. Matter of fact, I'm trying to think, there was a show on it. It's not coming to me, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, no. There's a there's a couple different paint schemes for them. They have like a Hershey bar wing, but instead of at the wingtip, it's just nice and rounded. Tail dragger, you know, just a beautiful airplane. And I think it's just when I went to Oshkosh. I flew into Oshkosh. We flew in as a flight of 13, and one of the airplanes was a Cessna 195. Is beautiful.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, and I like the name of it, the business liner.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Just, you know, Cessna used to do that kind of stuff a lot, didn't they?
Yeah.
With the commuter. Was it? As a matter of fact, the 150 was it called, the commuter,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, Cessna 150 commuter. I think an M model, maybe. Yeah, stationary. There's, there was a, let's call it.
I've never been in an open cockpit airplane. I know that's probably blasphemy to.
Have you ever been in a Cub?
I think I have. I know I was in a very slow high wing, one in front of another, when I was in Iowa City. Because, and I hate to admit this, because it's going to make me sound like a pervert, but. Let me just say, I was going along for the ride.
Oh, man.
And we went over the local swimming pool, and they didn't have roofs on the showers. And
oh, jeez.
Yeah. But that, I was just a passenger. But the guy flying with said, watch all these women run. And we just flew right over the top of it. But the things we did in those 70s.
Right.
But, I really haven't, and I would love to do that, actually. I'd love to fly a Cub just because of the connection to the history and Mr. Piper and all that. And truly, as they say, it taught a generation of pilots how to fly.
Right. Did you see that? Have you ever seen that air show performance with the guy in the Cub?
Oh, the drunk guy?
Yeah, the drunk guy. Grandpa. Yeah. Grandpa's all over the place, and he's had too much to drink. And, you know, finally, he's at the air show, and he's hammered out of his mind.
Yeah, and runs.
He's flying this thing all over the place, and
I've seen that. It's pretty amazing. I don't know how he doesn't hit the wingtip on the ground.
Yeah, then the guy, they're trying to figure out how to get Grandpa down, and they're shooting shotguns at him, and then all of a sudden they like, you hear this, and all of a sudden the Cub starts spitting out smoke, and they're like, we got him. They're trying to shoot him down.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. But those are definitely a lot of fun.
And then speaking of old to new, you know, we're going to use this hangar flying. Let's talk a couple things on technology or automation. And I was just reading about Avadyne introducing their new IFD 440, which is really cool. It's a 430 replacement, and they're targeting Cirrus pilots. And I was amazed when I read. I mean, it. I hate to say it because we have planes in our club with the Garmin 650, but when I'm in the turbulence, I've had trouble with the touchscreen.
Yeah.
And so what Avadyne's done, or what they're doing, and you'll understand in a second what I mean by that emphasis on the word doing, is they have both touch and the buttons, so you can choose.
That's during nice.
And what I really like is underneath the frequency, when you dial in the frequency, it tells you who you're talking to.
Cool.
So it says Savannah Approach or Chicago Center or whatever. So that's cool because I'm always scrambling now. Who am I talking to again?
So I don't have to, you know, now we're shooting the ILS back into Palwaukee. And when they say contact, you know, executive tower rather than saying just checking on with, you know, we make the switch over to tower and say center, King Air, blah, 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 blah. With you at 5,000 or whatever, and it's like, ah, oh, yeah, you cleared the land. It's like, oh, okay, sorry, tower.
Yeah, well, or just even I do center or departure or approach when I forget who I'm talking to.
Yeah,
but
here's one thing real quick.
The darn thing, let me just tell you real quick. This wonderful thing won't even be shipped until the end of 2013.
That's a long way away.
Yeah, why are they announcing it at Oshkosh and saying, okay, but you can't have it for a year? I don't know. I always was told SWAT, sell what's available today.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, tell me what you were going to tell me.
Well, going back to this, that's an important feature of figuring out who you're talking to. Because,
yes.
You know, when you go, you fly out east and you're, let's say you fly from Boston to New York, LaGuardia. You talk to two very competitive center controls, Boston and New York Center. So let's say you get a handoff from Boston to New York and then you check on as Boston Center, you know, Brickyard 12345 with you at flight level 280. And then all of a sudden you hear, we're not Boston. We're New York. And vice versa.
Yeah,
so it's important to know who you're talking to because they're just as much as it's a competitive game for pilots, it's, I think, the same for controllers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I want to. We just started talking about avionics and all that. I do have a question for you. As a CFI,
sure. Shoot.
I'm interested in your opinion on autopilot use.
Uh huh.
You know, again, in this week's Flying Magazine or this month's Flying Magazine, they talk about the two modes. There's those that part of their checklist is, you know, gear up, autopilot engage, that
right.
Call out. Others that we have. A captain of a major airline that fly in our club and hand fly to cruise, autopilot and cruise, and then hand fly the descent.
Yeah, I love it.
And obviously there's positives and negatives to all these as long as you're staying proficient with both. But
right.
What is your opinion on when do we use autopilot and when do we hand fly?
Well, I think autopilot is, it's an outstanding tool. I love doing both, hand flying and autopilot. But I like to throw the caveat in, you know, nobody should really use autopilot until they can hand fly the flight that they're doing. And that's pretty important, I think, you know, because autopilot is a tool and tools break. So, you know, if you're out there flying, you know, in heavy IFR conditions and you rely on the autopilot a lot, you should be able to confidently go and hand fly, you know, be able to hand fly in case the autopilot breaks. I've had multiple instances where the autopilot has gone haywire in flight, and we've had to actually hand fly ILSs in an airliner all the way down to minimums, do manual go-arounds and things like that, missed approaches. So you should have the confidence in your hand-flying ability to be able to do that. But I must say that... you know, autopilots are an incredible tool. You know, they should be used, and I really think that they free up mental capacity for you to solve other problems and do other things. So, you know, you can't just give up on the autopilot, and as soon as you turn it on, you still have to actively fly the airplane and be in control of it, even though the autopilot has making all the active inputs. So there's, and you should really know that there's a autopilot theory, as I like to say. So once you know how the theory behind autopilots, you should be able to get into a 747 or a Piper Archer or a Piper Dakota or a Cirrus, and you'll be able to understand all these, you know, even though they all have different autopilots, you should be able to understand how they all work because you know the theory behind it. So that's really important. So if you don't know that, you know, that's a, you should really start to strive to be able to do that, to understand all that. But, and another thing that I teach while flying is, an autopilot isn't a crutch. You shouldn't have a broken leg, you know, and use that as your crutch. So you should be able to, like I said, confidently hand fly, you know, the flight that you're doing, and in case the autopilot goes out. So rather than using the autopilot as a crutch, I want my students to understand it, that it's a treat. It's like a cherry on top of a sundae. So, you know, that way, if the cherry falls off the sundae, you're still having a lot of fun, and you know what you're doing.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that cherry on top thing, but
yeah,
it's funny. I have to admit, feeling guilty when I use the autopilot.
And why?
VFR, flying, you know, just put it on. I always think, gosh, this is a great opportunity for me to focus and remain proficient on the stick and rudder skills. But it certainly is a lot easier just to push that heading or nav mode and altitude,
right,
and just continue along. But I do know that staying proficient on the autopilot is also important to
absolutely
be able to, especially when something goes wrong and you want that, if not a crutch, you need that additional tool just to increase the level of safety or risk mitigation, however you want to position it. And I think staying proficient, especially as you move from plane to plane, isn't always that easy. I mean, everyone knows how to get the plane going, but what about when ATC changes something up on you, or with an STEC-55X, all of a sudden you're within the final approach fix and it goes into suspend mode because it won't activate the approach once you're inside.
Right.
You got to be outside. So what do you do about that?
Right.
So you really need to stay proficient on both things.
Oh, absolutely. If it's you know, a couple of the designated examiners that I you know, that we know, they say, hey, if it's in the airplane and it's you're on your check ride, you should be responsible for knowing it. So I'm definitely a huge proponent in that. If it is in there, you should be able to know it. But I also think it makes a better student, a better pilot, you know, to use it as a treat. So when you are flying, you know, like let's take this cherry on top of a sundae thing. So you're feeling guilty, right?
Yep.
Ice cream sundae is kind of a guilty pleasure, right? So now it's okay because you're treating yourself in that sense. But I would hate to see you use it as a crutch because you have a broken leg, meaning, you know, you don't. If there was no autopilot, you might cancel the flight, you know, if it's hard IFR or something like that. You know, you should, you know, strive to that level of airmanship where, hey, if there was no autopilot, it's no big deal.
Yeah, although it's funny, maybe not the same thing, but I do find myself flying an airplane without traffic. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, should I go?
Yeah, right. No, seriously, it's kind of and that's us starting to use one of the airplanes that came into our flying club has all the bells and whistles, and you know, I was out giving a flight check, and I'll be honest, got complacent, was using the traffic, you know, the TCAS and the SkyWatch system as a crutch, you know, so it was looking for traffic while I could be heads down in VFR conditions. And you know, all of a sudden, I realize, oh, hey, we don't have it in here, so let's look up, and sure enough, you know, there's an airplane buzzing over us at 200 feet. You know, so there's we have to remain, we can't let our senses go down. You know, we have to keep everything sharp. It goes back down, you know, to basic, you know, fundamentals. And I think the one thing that you will find when an airplane doesn't have TCAS or a traffic avoidance system, it has a... it's kind of refreshing to keep your eyes outside, and you realize, hey, I don't need all these gadgets and gizmos. You know, I need to sit back, smell the roses, enjoy the view.
Yeah, although I continually be amazed when it says traffic.
Yeah.
And I still can't find the traffic, and it just made me realize that all those years when I didn't have it, I was probably surrounded by a swarm of airplanes and just, you know, ignorance is bliss type of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know we did a great flight. I think it was a couple days, maybe before or after the Piper Dakota showed up, and we did that where we took the Eisenhower. We flew the Eisenhower inbound to the city. But what was the neat thing was is that they O'Hare was landing on the 9s and 10s and 4 right, I believe it is. And it was cool because we were flying right underneath his approach paths. And have you ever seen the movie Pushing 10?
Of course. Have I ever seen Pushing 10?
What do you like better, Pushing 10 or Top Gun?
Top Gun.
Top Gun. Why?
Great music. You know, you got the F-15s or F-16s. F-15s, those were, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was some scenes. They had the same dogfight scene. They played it every time. But, Pushing 10, because I love air traffic control, was fun. But I just love, those F-15s.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We had a, I'm sure F-15 would be a fun airplane to fly. We just had somebody chime in and say, guess what their favorite airplane is?
A GA? Is there a military or GA?
GA.
I'm going to guess the Cirrus SR-22. You got to help me out here. What is it, from this generation or previous generation? Corvallis?
No.
So it's from this one. I'm, you know what? We could play this guessing game all day, and it's not going to help.
We could. But it is the Piper Archer 3, November 3096 Bravo.
I'm familiar with that airplane.
Have you flown that one before?
I have. It's a nice 2004 glass Archer with the Avadyne Integra system.
Absolutely. And there's an S-Tech 55 autopilot.
Yeah.
And air conditioning, believe it or not.
Yeah, our only plane with air conditioning, which is wonderful on the days that we've been having this summer.
I love that. It's spoiled me. I feel like if I ever when I own an airplane, it's got to have air conditioning now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it reminds me of another one of those jokes about, it's be too long of a joke, but basically the dumb fill in the noun, just like our Brian's joke, and she went up flying. And then the plane came down. This is a non-fatal one, right? Crashed. And what happened? Well, it got so cold up there, I turned off that big fan out in front.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a... anyway, you know what? We just got another tweet.
Okay.
You got called out.
Uh-oh.
You got called out on Top Gun. And...
I got called out.
Yeah.
Did I say something wrong?
Yes, sir. They are not F-15.
Oh,
airplanes.
F-14 Tomcats, I bet. Yeah. Are they F-14 Tomcats?
They are F-14 Tomcats, yes.
I said it, it didn't sound right, and I said, that's not a Streak Eagle.
Right.
Yeah, no, F-14 Tomcat, as soon as you said that, I apologize to the...
Called out by MrFlightBlog.com himself.
He's very active tonight. I like that about him.
He is. It's great, and I think that's a... that's good, because those were F-14. Yeah. You know, here's a neat thing. I used to fly for the airline I used to fly at. The last two line PC proficiency checks, which is a yearly event, like an airline pilot getting a BFR or a flight review.
Yeah,
you had to go in and go to the simulator and do stalls, steep turns, instrument approaches, go arounds, V1 cuts, all in inclement weather. And one of the guys that actually, my favorite check airman, so his company, internal company check pilots that would administer all this.
Right.
The neat thing is that, the guy, he was a Top Gun instructor at Miramar
in San Diego.
Yeah. He was an actual advisor and did some of the stunt flying for the movie Top Gun.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. He was from Spokane, Washington. He was the most humble guy you'd ever know. He was incredibly friendly, just down to earth. If he always turned a wrong answer into a learning opportunity. He made you feel really good about it. And he was actually, I would say, if you got too many wrong, there's only so much that you could do. But if he got kind of excited when you got something wrong or were a little unsure, because it was just an opportunity to help you in his mind. It was pretty cool.
Well, and, this goes back to the beginning of the show. Both Brian and Sam, I couldn't remember Sam's first name, talked about how pleasantly they were surprised they were with their instructors and their experience.
Right.
But certainly because all kinds of people in this world, there are instructors, and I read about them in the magazines, that are not there for their student and maybe don't give as good a feeling about, you know, the instruction.
Right.
And how important is that to keep this going, you know, that you are going to make mistakes as a student, especially, and to have an instructor that uses that as a learning experience rather than as an opportunity to whip you.
Right, right? Exactly. Just, you know. Pour salt in your own wound.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I listen to debriefs, and it's interesting to hear, especially young students. They don't want to say anything wrong.
Right.
And they kind of hem and haw, and it proves to me, just when I get a chance to listen to these, that the conversation could be more open and direct, but the student doesn't want to show what he doesn't know. And of course, when I'm with my instructor, that's exactly when I want to show what I don't know.
Right, absolutely. Right. So you can start working on it.
So that's both you and I have talked about bad CFI, good CFI, whether it's bad student, good student, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
One of these days, we're going to let the listeners hear our bad CFI.
The bad CFI?
Are you going to tune that in?
I don't know if that's a... that guy's kind of scary. I don't think we'll ever really let him come out because, you know, that's we don't want that guy to... He's just not invited.
Yeah.
That's just really bad.
That sounds like a bad CFI.
I'm not bad. I'm a great guy. You should come and take flying lessons from me.
Oh, having fun at the old KPWK studio here.
Yeah. I'm out here almost every day giving flying lessons.
That's freaky. We can't be doing that at just before the hour of 10.
Yeah. No, we cannot. And that's kind of that guy's scary, so we don't want him on
the
show.
We'll have good CFI, bad CFI maybe on next week, though.
Yeah, maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we have another tweet.
Yeah, from somebody new this time?
Somebody new.
All right.
Former guest on the show.
All right.
Mr. Adam Herson of SparkReel.
Well, you know what? That reminds me, before we get onto that tweet, we still have to follow up on that contest. We owe somebody a shirt and some gift card.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we have I think people are starting to get used to the SparkReel aspect of this, and you and I went flying, and I posted a video to SparkReel, and I asked a question. What
what airport we were at.
Right. So the neat thing is that we need to figure out what the right answer is. Here we are, we're flying in. And,
wait a minute, I don't see anything. You got a video there?
Yeah, I got it played up, and that's wearing an SR-22, yeah. One of your favorite airplanes.
I love the SR-22. They say that the Staggerine's my favorite, but of my planes I've flown, I have to admit, I love that SR-22.
Yeah, it's a fun airplane. I got to give it to you.
Yeah.
But so since you were the pilot in command on that flight, what airplane were we in?
What airport?
What airport did we fly into?
Alfa Romeo Romeo.
Which is?
Aurora, Illinois.
Absolutely. There's some cool things going on there.
Yeah, you know, it's very professional. I've been there for drop-offs and things like that, but I love how they, at JA, they park you right under the canopy and put the red carpets out and all that. Make even a single-engine GA pilot feel like, you know, he's an executive, he or she's an executive. They did a nice job for us.
Absolutely. So the official answer is...
Ding, 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 ding.
Aurora Airport.
Yeah, now did anyone guess? And did they guess right or wrong?
Mr. Lubaka, Lewis Bowers, other SparkReel guest, he guessed correctly. And he, he also commented on your nice stable approach in the video.
Did he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was one of those, I remember it. It was a nice stable approach, but, and I, it's just like my last week's video. I think I touched down the center line, but I didn't hold it. And so there's one of those other embarrassing things.
Yeah.
I got to do a better job of it.
Get better. Get better at it.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool. So I think maybe we can get some of the high school guys involved in the aviation challenge and scavenger hunt start putting some cool videos out. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. I think both Brian and Sam tonight gave us some tremendous insight, and it's nice to hear young people, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, with the enthusiasm and energy that we all have, and yet they're at the beginning, right? And you're not too far away from the beginning at your young age, but...
I'm not there anymore. I know.
Well, you're kind of the middle, that. You're middle-aged pilot or something like that.
Yeah. Oh,
but truly, just especially, I was sitting next to Brian here in the studio, and that smile, you could just see it.
Right.
And you could hear it from Sam on the phone that he's got the exact same spark. So
he's ready to go on some dates.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we heard that Brian is as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But so we got that, and then we were able to talk a little bit tonight about this transition to a healthy lifestyle when you're on the road.
Staying young. Yes.
Staying young, because aviation opens up the world to us, but it also introduces some challenges in terms of eating right and staying healthy when we're traveling all over, especially those of you that are in it from a professional aspect.
As a flight instructor, I like Pepsi and Snicker bars. I don't have time. I like to go to that McDonald's there right on the corner.
This is a freaky voice. Why don't you dial that down, and maybe the Munchkins.
Oh, who? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, just see, caller number 73, is it?
Caller number 73.
Is it 73 on the line selector there?
Yeah, I don't know. There's if I weren't on a Pepsi bar and Snickers bar diet as a flight instructor, you know, and if I were if I were looking for crumbs, I could definitely get some help from my
fellow chipmunks and look around for some crumbs on the floor and have some maybe find a little bit of leftover Thanksgiving dinner. It'd be fun.
For those of you that don't think we're having fun, hopefully that gives you some insight as to how much fun we have.
Yeah, it's a
matter
right.
of fact, we wanted to talk about true confessions, but I don't think we're gonna have enough time. We're gonna have to put those till next week.
Yeah, we're gonna have to get some other pilots on the show and bring up some true confessions, turn those oops moments into learning experiences to help make everybody better.
Yeah, and in the true sense of the spirit behind this, of finding amazing people doing amazing things, there's a new airline out west, Surf Airlines. They're going to be flying PC-12s and... you know what? That's been suggested, and I think you and I agree to get the CEO of that airline on the show would probably be pretty appropriate. So we're going to probably try and do that up in the next couple of weeks, because he's very open to getting on shows like this. And
right.
There's some neat things going on in aviation that we need to make sure the listenership is aware of.
Absolutely. It's going to be pretty exciting. But, that kind of wraps up. We're out of time. Can you believe that? We have another on-time arrival.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That makes one of us, right? Although I will tell you, I picked up my nephew and his family. They flew in from LaGuardia did he come in from LaGuardia or Kennedy? He came from New York on Friday night, and the itinerary showed up. He'd arrive at 8:05 p.m. at O'Hare.
Yeah.
So I went out to the airline, it was Delta, and I checked the status of flight, and it said 7:57 scheduled. And I thought, okay, wow, that's weird. And so then my wife, who I've trained to use FlightAware.
Nice.
It's like 7:10, right? The earliest it's going to be in is 8 o'clock. And she checks at 7:10, and she said, well, there must be something wrong. It shows he's going to be landing in 2 minutes.
Wow.
And sure enough, they landed at 7:11. On a flight that was scheduled in at 8 o'clock. So talk about that. It's not only on time. That's just rude.
Right.
That just shows the padding that's in the schedule.
Absolutely.
That was nuts.
Well, on another show, I'll talk to you about the lack of padding on these schedules, too. Well, will that be for another show?
Yeah. Well, I used to fly to St. Louis, and they allowed an hour and a half, and we always landed 45 minutes early.
Yeah.
Because it's a 45-minute flight. It's only 300 miles, and that's statute miles, so right.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
But we talked about a couple other amazing people doing some amazing things in aviation. I don't know if you know it, but tonight's legal services were provided by Charlie Waite at Lineup and Waite, LLP. So whenever you need your help with your aircraft titles or liability issues, line up and wait.
I'm beginning to think that maybe we should force this thing that the humor stays with me.
Travel arrangements were made by Heathrow.
Okay.
It's not out of St. Louis, but Heathrow.
Yeah.
Music tonight was brought to you by Carbeat. Our housekeeping, you know, we're pretty messy.
We are messy. I'm looking around here and seeing a lot of things that need clean up. Who's going to be doing that?
Maggie Nito.
Okay.
Yes. Our producer.
Do they call her Mag for short?
Mag. Mag check. Yeah. And tonight's producer, our producer for the show, I don't know if you know it, but his name is Otto P. Lott. Our catering tonight is provided by Otto's sister, Etta Lott, assisted by Imelda D. Fudge. And
wait, Imelda D. Fudge?
Yeah.
You got to think about that one.
Yeah, stepsister. Tonight's maintenance was provided by Otto's brother, Costa Lott. Financing for Simple Fright is provided by Betty Makes It. Our chief scheduler is Clearance Good. And all facts used on our show have been professionally researched by Wanda Fitzroo.
You know, I have to talk to you about timing because this is at the point. It's kind of like when you have a bad golf game, but your last shot is great. It keeps you coming back.
Yeah, this was great. This is a great shot.
I don't know about that.
I think
after
it was.
All that, that
it was awesome.
Line of credits, I don't know if we'll have any of our listeners.
I'm tweeting
back
about it, therefore it was good.
Therefore, yeah. Therefore I am.
So it is written, so it shall be done. But anyway, this was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm sorry that we lost a little bit of the technical problems at the beginning again. I thought we had those solved. But for those of you that stuck with us, thank you very much. We enjoyed
absolutely
the show. And again, I guess until next week, it's tailwinds.
Tailwinds and blue skies.
There you go, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Simple Flight. From ultralights to the edge of space, the Wright brothers flew in 1903, and aviation is still finding new ways to advance. Aviation is fun, it's business, and it's full of opportunity. Join Al Waterloo as he talks with amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Control of your television set to you until next week at this same time, when the control voice will take you to the outer limit.